1889 Camp Meeting Sermons. Sermons by Ellen G. White, Alonzo T. Jones, and others, as printed in the Topeka, Kansas Daily Capital newspaper, May 7 to 28, 1889, narrated by Timothy Turner. The Camp Meeting. The Adventists celebrate the seventh day at Ottawa. A special correspondence of the Capitol. Forest Park, Ottawa, Kansas, May 5. The day opened at the camp meeting on Saturday all that could be desired, and continued so. Early at 5 o'clock, the campers began to rise, and in a half hour were assembled for morning worship in the tabernacle. At 9 o'clock came the Sabbath school, at 10:30 the morning sermon, at 2:30 the afternoon discourse, at sundown the evening Sabbath worship, and at 8 the lecture. Visitors were numerous at the all-day convocations, and at night the assembly hall was filled to its utmost seating capacity, many standing. The number of classes formed in the Sabbath school was 28, 5 of them in the primary division, with a total membership of 228, of which 27 were children. The lesson in the senior division was Unsanctified Service and the Result. In the primary, The Life of Christ. Elder E.H. Gates reviewed the senior division, and Elder W.W. Hyatt, the primary. The first named is from the Colorado Conference, and the latter from Nebraska. The following is a summary of the last quarterly report, just prepared, of the Seventh-day Adventist Sabbath Schools of Kansas. Number of schools reporting 75. Membership 2,139. Average attendance 1,607. Donations $122.25. The morning sermon at 10:30 on the Sabbath was delivered by Elder A.T. Jones. Elder Jones's sermon. The speaker took his text from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This, he said, is practically the fourth commandment, telling us what it is and what we are to do with it, the balance being simply explanatory. The latter part of the commandment gives the reasons why we should observe it. We are to rest because God rested, and to keep it holy because He did. Again, it is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not and keep it holy, as is often quoted. If we do not remember to keep it holy, we cannot keep it holy when it comes to us. This is why the word to is placed there, the definition of the word being in substance a motion towards an object. Now then, where does our observance of this Sabbath begin? When did Adam's observance begin? Why, just when the first Sabbath was passed, because Adam did not keep the first one, as God had to rest before a Sabbath was fully born. So that as soon as the sun went down on the first Sabbath, Adam began to remember to keep the coming Sabbath. So should we do likewise. We therefore are to keep the commandment all the week up to Friday, and then began to keep the Sabbath also, so that on the Sabbath we keep both the commandment and the Sabbath. It is plain, then, that all we do during the week should be done in reference to the coming Sabbath. If we fail to do this, we are often placed in perplexing positions by having goods delivered, or business, or work overlooked, pressed upon us on the Sabbath. If, then, we think to keep the commandment, we can keep the Sabbath when it comes, but otherwise we cannot. The keeping of the Sabbath holy begins at once when the Sabbath comes. We cannot carry our work right up to the hour of its beginning, or get so behind with our work that we have to crowd Friday full of work, and overstep the time into the Sabbath to close up, and then keep the day holy. We have already profaned holy time, and we cannot then comply with God's requirements. Now let me notice another point. The commandment is not given, as men assert, because of man's physical necessities. Man's physical nature or needs are not considered at all. Man's spiritual nature alone is considered. Man is to rest simply because God did so, not because his physical nature needs it. Now, if a man works so hard that on the Sabbath he has to rest to refresh his body, is to violate the Sabbath instead of keeping it holy. If we come up to the Sabbath capable of taking delight in it, then we are blessed and able to keep it holy. The argument that man needs a day of rest in seven is a fraud, and based upon a fraud. There is nothing in the commandment or its requirements in reference to man's physical wants. But suppose we come up to the Sabbath in a proper way. How are we to keep it when it comes? In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it is ordered that there shall be a holy convocation on that day, an assembly of the people, so that one of the duties is to have a meeting for God's praise and worship. Now I want to show you that it is our spiritual needs and not our physical needs that are considered. God did not rest because he was weary. Hence, his physical needs were not considered. Neither are ours, as we rest because he did. Isaiah tells us so in chapter 40, verse 28. Nothing then which he gives can lessen what he has to give. Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17 tells us why we should rest. The idea of God being refreshed is, in the Hebrew, that he took delight in the creation he had formed. And this is certainly the only view of rest we can conceive of God. He being a spirit, it could only be a spiritual rest, and we rest because he did. Then our rest must be a spiritual one, and the refreshing a spiritual refreshment. Let us turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and we have a proof of this. The speaker then read from the first chapters of Genesis to show how God saw all he had created as very good and delighted in it. Now then, let us read why the Sabbath was given by reading Psalms chapter 111, verse 4. It is a sign by which we are ever to remember the Creator and why we keep his Sabbath. Now then, how shall we keep it? Let us read Psalms 92, verses 1 and 16, especially the last. God delighted in his work, and David says we are to be glad for the same reason. And we are to delight in it, that it lifts us up to God and makes us know more of him, his goodness and power. I am perfectly satisfied that God blessed the seventh day, and that there is a blessing that goes with it that no other day has. And when we realize our duty to remember to keep it, we will feel this sacredness more than we do now. We may hear preaching all the week, but when we listen to it on the Sabbath, it seems more sacred and consecrated. Well then, if on the Sabbath we lift our hearts to God, we will feel nearer to him. And if we contemplate his works to delight in them, we shall be blessed. I believe it to be part of the commandment to take our children out in the fields on the Sabbath day and point out the beauties of creation, leading their minds up to God. If we act in this way, we are keeping the Sabbath as God did, delighting in it, and our children will look forward to it also with delight, instead of fancying it to be a burden. The speaker then narrated an anecdote of Kepler, the astronomer, when he discovered the real motion and orbits of the planets, and exclaimed, "I think thy thoughts after thee, O God." Now that is what David says in the Psalms. Brethren, let us try to think God's thoughts after him, and so daily discover new beauties and grandeur in God's creation, and our minds being elevated to him, be filled with love and gratitude to God, who enables us to understand his goodness toward us, and to delight in his appointed day, on which we can draw nearer to him and be refreshed. We can all be Keplers in our own sphere. So, brethren, let us do it. He then gave a number of illustrations to show the magnitude of the power of God, describing the Gulf Stream, the different texture and woody fiber growing in cold and warm climates, and showing how the snowdrop is, by the law of gravitation, compelled to droop its head to become fruitful, and that to accomplish it, God must have weighed the earth to regulate the gravitation, or else the first snowdrop would have been the last. To prove to his hearers that God wanted man to investigate such things and to understand them, that they may know him better and delight in his creative power. These are all for our contemplation and delight on the Sabbath day. And this is not all. We have eternal salvation to study and contemplate and delight in. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 11, the last particularly, shows that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord is trying to make man understand something about his eternal purposes. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, which tells us it will be our study in the ages to come. This life is merely the beginning of our study of God, his creation, and his purposes in reference to him. It will be the science and song of eternity. The Lord has given us the Sabbath for the purpose of thinking his thoughts after him, delighting in his creative power, and drawing nearer to him, and to find the joy of the Lord in him, and to rejoice in him, because we know him as he is.